Yana, kamusta kayo dyan, mga kameta? Yan, after 2 days of break, of course, in the observance of yung days of solemn reflection, at of course, dun sa Black Friday at saka Black Thursday, sabi natin mag-break muna tayo sa politika, sa anything na pwede mag-distract sa atin sa mga bagay na hindi maganda para sa ating soul, 'di ba? Kumbaga kung ganun. Now, with just few hours left before Sunday at Easter, let me just say advance happy Easter sa inyo lahat. I hope you have made the most out of your time, out of your holidays to reflect dun sa mga gusto niyo mangyari sa buhay, dun sa mga pagkakulang natin, dun sa mga imperfections natin, dun sa mga lessons and inspirations and motivations that we can get dun sa mga kay Papa Jesus, of course, or depende dun sa inyong faith, or at least yung time na you spent with your family and loved ones. I hope you made the most out of it. As I said, you know, it's very, very important to always take stock of things, diba? Kung magasabi nga ni Plato, diba? A life not contemplated upon is not worth living. So, yun ang importante. At of course, yun din yung dahilan na may Sabbath day po tayo. So, as you know, of course, tomorrow is also Sabbath day. So, dapat wala rin tayo any kind of live or political commentaries. Hindi ko alam dun sa mga ibang vloggers na kahit mga holy days or holy week, tuloy-tuloy pa rin ang kanilang discussion sa politika. Pero tayo naman, alam mo naman, we try to keep things as much as possible in accordance to what at least I believe is you have to separate. There's a time for war, there's a time for vlogging, there's a time for peace, there's time for love. So it's very important you make that distinction. Anyway, let me just say, first of all, advance happy Easter sa inyong lahat, and I hope you know, this moments of reflection, spiritual reflection, will give us the kind of strength and clarity that we need as we look forward, no, to what will most likely look like a very, very intense year, politically speaking at least, no, among other things. Now, as you know, there are a couple of things that have been, because as much as possible, I don't post anything online, as you can see, but at least, you know, once in a while I have to monitor also what's going on. So mukhang dalawang bagay nagdo-dominate ng discussions over the past few days. One is obviously itong bagong Pulse Asia survey na lumabas, or actually na na-leak pala. Hindi pala siya official, kasi isang official na dinidistribute ng Pulse Asia is actually yung sa ano, ukol sa charter change, at mukhang sobrang konti ang support for charter change. This is something that we'll discuss more next week, starting on Monday, God willing. Also, there's a new survey na lumabas sa Pulse Asia, kung saan it looks like not one but two 12 us are more or less within the range for top 12. And as far as Erwin Tulfo is concerned, he's really pulling ahead of everyone else. Even with the margin of error of 3 to 5%, looks like Erwin Tulfo is still ahead of immediate number two, si Senator, former Senate President Tito Soto. So this is kind of a Tito Soto, Tulfo, Tito versus Tulfo kind of a fight for top position in the Senate next year. Now, obviously, this is not the first time that we see a Tulfo topping the surveys. That was also the case 2 years ago, except of course, may tinatawag na Robin Hood Padilla. All right, may itatago na lang natin sa pangalan na ano. Okay. So yun yung surprise ng 2022 elections, because everyone was expecting for Raffy Tulfo to top the race, but eventually it was Robin Hood Padilla out of nowhere, which raises the question of whether Digong and Bongo, who are tied at number three, are in a position to pull off an upset. And I think should a Duterte or Bongo top the race next year, that's gonna also have a lot of implications, because that's gonna give a lot of confidence dun sa kampo ng mga Dutertes to say, we're not a spent political force, we're here, we're gonna fight. And especially as more and more issues regarding the ICC, regarding the West Philippine Sea, among others, are gonna come on board. No, pag-usapan din natin yan very shortly. Now, if you look at it, yung mga lumalaban for the last few slots, it looks like Aimee Marcos is more or less out of top 5. She's in the 16 to 13 slots. So there's actually a possibility that Aimee Marcos might not even win a seat next year's 2025 Senate elections, which tells you a lot about let's just say, yung backlash siguro sa kanyang strategy. Because if you look at her strategy, first you had the Made in Marites, I sorry, Made in Malacañang 1.1 and 2, di ko na pinatulan. One was more than enough for that kind of genre of movies and arts and history. And then the whole thing, of course, alam niyo naman, Made in Marites was all about siya na ang pinakamagaling na anak ni Marcos Senior, sorry, siya ang pinakamagaling na lahat, siya na, 'di ba? Siya na ang sentro ng mundo, no? Center of the universe, no? And then yung pagcriticize niya sa kapatid niya, and then eventually what we saw is that obviously it looks like she has alienated the administration, if not, you know, the first family, but also it looks like the Dutertes are not necessarily completely happy with them, as we saw in the case of Baste, no? Coming out and openly saying, oh, wag kang maghanash masyado, essentially, right? So these are things that we discussed before. So whatever, I mean, Marcos was thinking about, which is good, positioning herself for presidency or vice presidency in 2028. I think realistically more vice presidents. I heard first now there were plans down to run for mayor of Manila. As I said, base dun sa pag-iintindi ko, solid pa rin yung kasalukuyan na administration sa Manila. And my sense is if Amy Marcos was really in a driver's seat dun sa race sa Manila, I won't be surprised if Isko Moreno would have considered to run again for mayor of Manila. Except the interesting thing is actually both Isko Moreno and Amy Marcos are statistically tied. Both of them pasok sa actually not exactly Magic 12 kasi pwede rin mag number 13 sila. But more or less within the range sila for top 12, right? So that's quite interesting. And then this is even more interesting. Tied si Ben Tulfo kay Amy Marcos at saka kay Isko Moreno, right? Which tells you a lot about ito talaga mga Tulfos talaga. They're way well on their way to build their own political dynasties as things go. But as I said, you know, they are all Tulfos, but you know, from brother to brother, different dynamics. I don't think Ben Tulfo is the same political you know, element, species, whatever you want to call it, as Erwin Tulfo. And I think Raffy Tulfo is also a very different kind of Tulfo. Nevertheless, this is yung Tatak Tulfo na nakita natin, malakas pa rin at lakas pa rin ang dating niya. Lito Lapid, medyo pasok. Willie Revillame, medyo pasok. Willie Ong, medyo pasok, pero risky pa rin. Up to 16, 17 pa sila. And then, more or less, andun din si Pangilinan and Ralph Recto. But looks like things are a bit tough for the opposition. Lenny's down the list, so it's really Kiko and Bam who are quite competitive for this. Mukhang labas din ang mahirapan din si Francis Tolentino for re-election. Mukhang gibotchadoro, despite all of his, I would say, very encouraging positioning dito sa West Philippine Sea, will also be in top position. And then I don't see Harry, si ex-human rights lawyer, medyo wala siya dito. Things are also slightly going to be difficult for, I think, Jokno, Trillanes, among others, including also Abalos, Benjamin Abalos, who was in many ways the engine of organization, the consigliere of the current president. So this is a very tough Senate race, which we'll discuss even more in the coming days, hopefully next week. So ipopost natin later on next week, hopefully, dito para makita ninyo talaga yung breakdown. Obviously, Pulse Asia is not the only one in town. We are going to look at also other surveys by Okta, also other authoritative surveys, just to give an idea. But what we see consistently is Erwin Tulfo coming on top. And he's, even with a margin of error 3 to 5%, well ahead of everyone else. So we have another race whereby Tulfo, once again, is a front runner. So that tells you a lot about anong hinahanap ng taong bayan or ano yung pag-intindi ng ating mga kababayan dun sa trabaho ng Senado. All right? So siguro yung concept nila ng isang fiscalizer, isang lumalaban para sa ustisya, ay hindi katulad ni Jokno, who's a constitutional law expert, but it's someone like mga Tulfos. Because the interesting thing is that Ben Tulfo, who unlike Erwin Tulfo, has no background whatsoever in political office. In fairness kay Erwin Tulfo, at least spent some time in the DSWD, and as I can say, based on my observation, based on conversations with him, based on interviews with him, etc., I don't think he did bad. I think he did pretty decently and was quite proactive in responding to different crises dun sa kanyang termino bilang DSWD secretary. So I won't blame if people actually see a lot of hope and a lot of proactiveness in Erwin Tulfo. Ibang usapan siguro Ben Tulfo, we can also talk about that later on. Are both of them gonna run? Likely. May nagsabi sa akin na bati si Montulfo ay gusto mag-position na. But I think 3 is a little bit too much. 3 is a crowd. 2 is a bit doable. 3 is a cloud. So pag-usapan natin yan, guys. Don't worry about it. Ipa-flash natin yung mga surveys, implications. Kasi I think within the next 3 to 5 months, we'll have an idea about who are really more or less, shoe-in dito sa Senate race, and then how difficult and competitive it's going to be for the opposition. As I said, this is going to be the most difficult Senate race. So kudos dun sa mga miyembro ng tunay na opposition, kudos dun sa mga lumalaban para sa tunay na demokrasya, who are entering this race even if it's going to look very, very difficult for them. Having said that, you never know. Right, no one saw Robin Hood Padilla topping the race in 2022 elections. No one saw back in the day Mar Rojas topping the Senate elections, although he spent a lot on the advertising, Mr. Palenque. We also saw Grace Poe out of nowhere from MTRCB chief suddenly becoming the top. I think few saw Cynthia Villar, by the way, just to remind you, would top the 2019 Senate election. So we don't know. Things could move. Things could get very interesting. I would say also Villanueva, Senator Villanueva coming up at number 2 in 2016 elections was also another big, big, big surprise. So things could still move. But at least one thing we are seeing consistently is Erwin Tulfo cementing his position as a clear front runner and potentially going to be joined by another Tulfo. Now, the other thing that is interesting here is that dahil ito si Nancy Binay, patapos na yung kanyang diretsyong termino, dalawang termino na, just like Grace Poe. Now suddenly it looks like another Binay is in position to run for the highest office, and that's Abigail Binay. And some would say she's probably even the most capable Binay out there as far as the offsprings of the former vice president is concerned. We can have more conversation about that. So things are quite interesting. And in fairness, makay Nancy Binay, her reinvention throughout the years has been quite impressive. Not only in terms of branding, but also in terms of policy positioning and voting, including dun sa boto niya about Kibuloy and other sensitive issues dun sa relevant agencies, including mga committee sa ilalim ni Riza Hontiveros. Now, we'll discuss more about that, but it looks like not much has really, really changed. And while the number 1 to number 4 and 5 looks like more or less steady, from 5 onwards, it's extremely competitive. And there's a very good chance that may mga re-electionists like Senator Francis Tolentino, mukhang medyo mahirapan sila, and also others like dating mga medyo shoe-in, katulad ni Gregorio Honasan, mukhang medyo mahirapan din sila. Not to mention also Pam Aquino and Francis Pangilinan are still, you know, at the edge, no, of entering within the threshold of the competitive 15 to 20 people for the top position. So actually, Pangilinan is number 14 to 18th, and BAM is 18 to 28. All right, so this is going to be tough, very, very tough. Now, if you look at the spread from number 1, almost 60% expressing their preference for Tulfo, and then you look at opposition figures at Pangilinan, it's barely 20%. So it's almost like 3-to-1 ratio. So three times more people preferring people like Erwin Tulfo over seasoned, not only legislators, but also human rights activists, lawyers, among others, like Pangilinan. So again, that also tells you something about the nature of our political culture nowadays. But as I said, things could still change. I think the number 1 to 5 is more or less solidifying. Ang tanong lang dito is if Digong is going to run. And if Digong is going to run, is he going to go for gold and or for broke? Because I think if Digong or Bongo top the race next year, that's gonna add a different dynamic. Very, very different dynamic. Alright? Okay, pag-usapan natin ito mga kameta more on Monday, among others. In the meantime, let me tell you this. Isa sa mga issues na sobrang mainit over the past few days. Ay, itong issue ng Ayong Inshol, which I want to discuss more also in the coming days. So magkakaroon ng isang hearing dyan sa Senado led by Senator JV Ejercito kung saan pag-usapan ang issue ng fake news. So yung mga mahilig magbuldyakan, mahilig mag-claim na meron silang mga polvoronic videos, mga mahilig gumawa ng mga fake news, mga walang kwentang mga istorya para lang makuha ng views at maging relevant, para lang kunyari may content or kunyari may conviction sa buhay. O yan, yung mga ganon. Medyo ingat-ingat kayo dyan, di ba? Lalo yung mga epal-epal effect dyan. At kailangan magbagong buhay. Alright, so mukhang magkakaroon ng isang masinsina na hearing ukol sa fake news. But the important thing is that ang angulo ng mga fake news na yan, mga kameta, ay hindi lang necessarily yung mga nagsispread ng mga kunyaring polvoronic videos or meron daw silang polvoronic videos na may na siguro pinapagawa pa ng CGI. Gumagawa pa sila ng deepfake siguro, no? Baka kulang yung budget nila dati kaya natagalan yung launching. So siguro by April daw maging ready na yan. So ay nako, hintayin natin yan. Anyway, the thing here is hindi lang ito about fake news. Ito ay ukol din dun sa mga bloggers na sasabihin na lang natin, mga bayaran. At hindi lang bayaran ng mga trapo, hindi lang bayaran ng mga potential criminal elements. Potentially, ito yung mga tao na potentially, or I'm just being nice by saying potentially, pero mukhang medyo obvious naman, na bayaran ng isang bansa na nagbubuli sa atin sa West Philippine Sea. Obviously, meron tayong influence operations, meron tayong disinformation campaign, meron tayong mga bayaran ng Harlika campaign, kung saan para palitan natin yung polisiya natin sa West Philippine Sea para hindi tayo mag-assert ng ating claim sa West Philippine Sea, para maging mas mahina yung ating bansa, para maging mas divided tayo. Ang plano yata ng mga ito, mga bayaran ng China, is sasabihin nila, nako, magkakaroon ng giyera, kaya huwag kayong makulit, kaya huwag nyo na idama yung Amerika, di ba? So meron mga grupong ganun. Now, obviously, may mga tao na talagang misguided na yung kanilang positioning ay base sa ideolohiya na 1960s pa at hindi pa masyado na-update. Ba ito natikip sa hair ko? Hindi, kakaligo lang natin kanina. Hindi ko naman yun. Anyway, hindi natin pinag-usapan, guys, yung mga ano, yung mga unfortunately medyo naka-download ng mga questionable mga 1960s Maoist mga ek-ek na ganyan. Hindi yung mga ganyan, ha. Hindi yung mga na-stuck pa sa 1960s 70s Cold War, ha. Hindi yung mga yung pinag-usapan. Yung mga yan ay bahala na lang sila. Kaya nga sila completely irrelevant dahil irrelevant yung kanilang thinking at positioning. Hindi sila nag-update. Sa aking palagay, kung kunyari gumising si Karl Marx at si Engels at nakita nila itong mga to, sabi na kakahiya nila yung mga ganitong tao dahil sila po ay isang clear negation of the spirit of dialectical analysis, the spirit of constant research and updating na nakikita natin sa mga works nila, Engels, sa mga others. But anyway, maubang usapan yan, ayaw natin pumunta dyan. No, hindi yung mga ganyan tao ang pinag-usapan natin, mga kametsa. Hindi yung mga ganon. I want to say something, but again, we're in a holy week, holy day, mag-Easter na po shortly. So we're gonna be nice, no? Ano ba yung dikit dito? Ano ba yan? Ayan, tanggal, okay. Hindi ito. Ang pinag-usapan natin itong mga tao na clearly my script, clearly my talking points. At obvious talaga yan eh. Unang-una, yung iba dyan, location pa lang. Location pa lang, medyo. Pangalawa, kita natin yung talking points ng Chinese Embassy, talking points ng Chinese Foreign Ministry, talking points ng mga Chinese na propagandists na 50 Cent Club na based sa China, ay halos exactly yun din ang talking points sila. Halos exactly the same. Alright? Essentially, yung Asia for Asians, which essentially means let China dominate this part of the world, yung sisisiin ng Amerika sa lahat ng mali nangyari sa mundo. Hindi ko sinasabi walang mali ang US. Ang daming mga maling ginawa ng Amerika all around the world, including sa Afghanistan, sa Iraq, sa Gitnang Silangan. I can go on about the mistakes ng mga Western countries. Pero that doesn't excuse yung mga ginagawa, okay? Yung ginagawa ng China sa atin, okay? Just because US did something wrong, that doesn't excuse the others like Russia or China to bully their smaller neighbors. Okay, let's be very clear about that. So, huwag kayong magpa-apektos dun sa mga ano yan. No. So, the other one is clear yung parallel ng talking points sila at saka yung talking points ng Beijing-based officials or Beijing-based essentially thought leaders and propagandists. Ito pang interesting. Hindi ko alam sa inyo kung nakapunta kayo sa China and all, pero dun sa mga iba sa atin nakapunta sa China, actually bawal po ang Twitter, bawal po ang Facebook. Ang hirap po mag-connect ngayon sa Facebook at Twitter at saka mga ganyan accounts, mga Western tech companies sa China, dahil napaka-strict yung kanilang regulation doon sa VPN nila. So kahit meron kang VPN, mahirapan ka pumasok. Ganon kagaling yung so-called Great Wall of China. So kung may mga iba dyan na bloggers na based sa China at ang ganda ng connection nila, ang ganda pa rin ng ano nila, pag-tweet nila, Facebook nila, magtanong ka, bakit ang ganda ng connection nila habang napaka-hirap na mag-post sa Twitter, Facebook kung based ka sa China even if meron kang VPN. Alam ko yan dahil marami akong kaibigan ng scholars and experts na based sa China na hindi polveronic mag-isip. Medyo matinitin mag-isip. At ako naman guys, just to be clear, kahit may disagreements ako sa China sa issue ng West Philippine Sea, marami naman akong alam sa, marami naman mga bagay sa China na gustong-gusto ko. I love their culture and civilization. I love their history. There's so much amazing stuff about China. I love their hard work, their work ethic. Marami tayo mga kaibigan, mga Chino throughout the years. I keep in touch with mga experts and friends there. I am keeping in touch also dito sa mga latest na pangyari. My goodness. Alam niyo yung phone na Xiaomi? Alam niyo yung phone na Xiaomi, guys? Mayroon na silang kotse. Gumawa na sila ng kotse. So meron ng Xiaomi car ngayon, guys. Saan ka pa, di ba? May Xiaomi car na ngayon. At itong Xiaomi car na yan, well, medyo may kamukha siyang kotse na itago na lang natin sa pangalan na Porsche. Pero maganda pa rin eh. At yung 1 to 100 niya, mahawa niya down niya in 3 seconds. Obviously, minsan, medyo, you know, you take with a grain of salt yung mga claims sila sa mga Chinese cars. But guys, they look good. They look very affordable, very interesting. And kahit sabihin natin JPEG, alam ko eh, sabihin ng copycat ng portion all of that. But still, guys, ngayon medyo ganun ang China. Pero give it 3, 4, 5 years, kaganda yung mga coaches nila. At yung BYD ng China, next level na, napakaganda. So, gusto ko lang ilabas ito. Kasi grabe yung mga kulay ng kotse nila, mga Tiffany, Meta Purple. Sabi ko, ibang klase o. Ito, Xiaomi. So, you can see guys, I constantly keep in touch with developments in China. Dahil hindi ako hater. I appreciate China. I love their determination. Oh, kahit sabihin natin kumukopya sila. Oh, di ba? Meta color pa, oh. Meta color. Oh, imagine mo. Kung hindi lang, alam mo kung wala lang ako concern sa privacy ko at sa mga datos ko eh, no? Kasi syempre, yun ang problema sa mga ganyang kotse. Actually, any modern car you buy right now, pag kinonek mo yung phone mo and all of that, potentially makompromise ka. Lalo itong mga Chinese car, very, very yan, yan eh. Very high-tech yan, in fairness. And if you look at them, they talagang super connected sila, smart car sila, di ba? So, good luck sa mga datos mo yan. No? See, I mean, look at the colors and look at the design. Yes, it looks like Taycan. I mean, which is my ultimate crush car, if I can put it that way. If there's one car na sobrang gustong-gusto ko na EV, hindi Tesla yung mga ganun. Laos na yung mga sa akin. Syempre, love natin ang BMW and all of that, but Taycan of Porsche is the best. So this one really looks like one. So again, pwede natin pagtawanan ng China and all of that, but guys, imagine mo ba't yung Xiaomi nila na phone, nakakagawa sila ng ganang kotse. So what I'm saying is that, in theory, I'm all good with trading with China, with getting investment from China. Kung titignan mo yung trend sa Laos, titignan mo yung trend sa Indonesia, ang ganda ng ginawa ng China. But, hindi naman tayo uto-uto. Yan ang difference natin dun sa iba. So, ang problema sa Pilipinas, guys, is Toyota Soap. Mahal naman kasi, guys, ito $30,000 ang presyo niya. Yung you want to get a Porsche, it's gonna be like what, 10 times the price or 8 times the price. But anyway, what I'm saying is, ang problema kasi sa Pilipinas is either sobrang anti-China, halos racist and prejudicial, at sobrang pro-US, or sobrang anti-US na nagbubulag-bulag andun sa mga problema sa China at masyadong nire-romanticize yung China. Like for instance, yung project sa Indonesia na Bandung-Jakarta railway projects, sobrang overpriced, sobrang tagal, etc. But hindi dapat tayo hater. So, which brings us to itong issue natin ngayon. So, clearly, may mga bayaran. Clearly, may script. Clearly, may plano sila na tatakutin tayo. Dalawa lang naman sa estilo nila eh. Sasabihin nila, nako, huwag kayong huwag kayong lumaban masyado dyan sa West Philippine Sea kasi ang mangyari dyan is magkakaroon ng giyera. Which is, yan ang pulvoronic ng pag-iisip. Hello, we took China to international court. Wala namang giyera nangyari. Hello, dalawang taon na tayo lumalaban sa China. Wala namang nangyari giyera. Okay, water cannon is bad. But let's not jump into conclusions right away. Ang Pilipinas ay marami pang options. We can actually go for using bigger ships, warships. We can, bring in our allies to do joint patrols in the areas, etc. So, huwag tayong masyadong magpatakot. Nananakot kasi sila eh, yung mga bayaran dyan. Pangalawa naman, ang gagawin nila is sabihin na, hindi, dahil sa ginagawa natin, hindi natin makukuha yung mga investments sa China. So, may mga ibang mga bayaran dyan ang pinapost nila. Tignan mo yung Indonesia, napakaganda yung country nila dahil mabait sila sa China. And except, the reason Indonesia is doing well is because they're dealing with, we are getting investments from Japan, they're getting investments from Netherlands, they're getting investments from many places. The same thing with Vietnam. Lahat ng mga countries na yun, umasa yun sa hindi dahil sa China lang. Umasa yun sa sila dahil kumakuha sila ng investments from all around the world. So they're doing well 360 degrees. And lahat ng mga bansa na yan, katulad ng sinabi natin, ay lumaban na sa China dati pa. So nung nagets ng China na hindi sila tatay lang, pwede maduterte lang, then they began to respect us. Now, going back to this, as I said, dalawang aspeto nito eh. Unang-una, kailangan talaga natin investigate, guys. Kailangan talaga natin investigate. Ano itong gentleman's agreement na sinasabi ni ex-human rights lawyer? Ito si Hari-Hari. Because potentially against sa ating hindi lang national interest, but potentially unconstitutional, and I'm not gonna use the word. You know what word I'm gonna use. So, ito si President Marcos Jr. They have to investigate this. And most importantly, the Senate has to investigate this. Okay, wait lang. May mga... Okay, tanggal natin. May mga troll dito. Umayos kaya. Holy Week. Balikan natin ito, guys. First of all, there has to be a very, 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 very clear investigation. Ano itong gentleman's agreement na yan? Because iba yung sinasabi ni Bato, iba yung sinasabi ni I don't know, Digong, kung may sinasabi pa siyang matino, iba yung sinasabi ni Harry, iba yung sinasabi. So we have to investigate what's going on here. Pangalawa, we also have to keep in mind very clearly na wala tayong choice. We have to stand our ground until China realizes na hindi tayo pushover. But having said that, all right, so first, there has to be very serious investigations. Hindi lang sa mga fake news peddlers, pero dun sa mga amo nila. Hindi amo nila sa China, yung mga amo nila dito, or yung mga middleman nila dito. Dapat rin may investigation dun sa mga questionable deals or gentleman's agreement or whatever agreement na naganap nung panahon ng dating administration. There has to be a very thorough, comprehensive, and objective investigation. Hindi hater, obviously. Hindi racist, anti-China, gano'n. No. But at the same time, we have to be very clear, guys. Hindi naman pwede sabihin na, kasi pag di tayo lumaban para sa Ayungin Shoal, parang binigay mo na sa kanila yan eh. Parang gano'n na lang, parang nag-give up ka na lang. And next thing you know, lahat na lang ng ating karagatan, lahat ng ating fishery resources, lahat ng ating oil and gas dyan sa West Philippine Sea, good luck na lang. Ang mawawala sa atin, yung sarili natin, respeto natin sa sarili natin, mawawala natin yung dangal ng ating bayan, at mawawala ang billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars of resources. So, sobrang mahalaga, guys, na talagang pag-aralan na mabuti ng Senado. Yes, we need a serious Senate hearing. So, I'm calling upon JV Ejercito at saka ibang senador dyan na not to only investigate itong mga fake news peddlers, mga bayaran na yan. Now, yung iba naman sobrang obvious na kailangan ba natin pangalanan. But beyond yung mga major, minor bloggers, whatever, kailangan din ang pag-aralan ng mabuti. Ano ba itong ginagawa ng China na disinformation? At ano itong mga sikreto or gentleman's agreement na meron sila na walang pirma, walang signature, walang formal agreement, walang treaty, walang MOA, MOU, walang ganun. Kailangan talaga investigate na ng Senate. Hindi pwede investigate lang yung mga trolls. Alam ko, nainis si JV dahil tinatroll-troll-troll siya yung mga nagtitroll sa amin ng 5-6 years. Okay, good yan, sir. Go after them. But just to remind everyone, yung mga iba dyan na ngayon bilang tapang-tapangan ng Gilas Pilipinas, nagwe-West Philippine Sea, anong sinasabi niyo ng panon ni Digong? Okay? Anong sinasabi niyo sa China? Excuse me. At saka yung mga bilang naging pahiro-hiro dyan sa West Philippine Sea, anong ginagawa niyo ng panon ni Digong? Yun lang sasabihin ko eh. Okay? Now, anong sinasabi mo? Sir Son, kung ayaw mo dito, di umalis ka. Di ka naman na... Yan naman mga epal na yan. So yeah, there has to be an investigation, not only in terms of disinformation campaign, not only in terms of bayaran, whether minor, major, whatever, vlogger, but kailangan din investigate na mabuti itong sinasabi, guys, na gentleman's agreement. That's very, very important. Very, very important. And from there, we have to make it clear. Anong ang strategy talaga ni Marcos Jr.? Now, in fairness kay Marcos Jr., maayos yung kanyang statement na Filipinos do not yield, we are for democracy, we are for diplomacy, but we're not gonna, you know, essentially give up on our national interest. Maganda yung speech. Kung sino nagsulat ng speech ni BBM, in fairness sa kanya, maayos. At in fairness din kay President Marcos Jr. for openly also mentioning na if ever man may ganyan na gentleman's agreement na questionable sa pagitan ni Digong at sa pagitan ng China, he's gonna rescind it. My problem though is, two, unang-una, hindi pwede sabihin mo na kung anong ginawa ni Digong pong mali, hindi ko na gagawin. Hindi, dapat investigate natin. Kung may mali talaga nangyari, dapat talaga i-check natin yan. Alright? You cannot just say, baliwala na lang. Hindi pwede yan. Okay? Huwag na naman damay yung mga ghostwriters. Hindi po ghostwriter tawag siya. Mayroon nga siyang... Kaya nga may PCO eh, may Presidential Communications Office eh, hindi naman ghostwriter mga yan. Trabaho talaga nila gumawa ng magandang speech. Alright? So bigyan naman natin ng magandang credit, let's give credit where credit's due. No, but pangalawa, BBM also has to be very clear. Ano itong sinasabi niya na tutulungan tayo ng mga aliado natin? Ano itong sinasabi niya na meron tayong mga package of countermeasures? Now, of course, naiintindihan ko na may mga bagay na hindi pwede sabihin in public that for tactical and strategic reasons. Tactical reasons because, of course, you want to always have the element of surprise and you also want to have your options, a range of options open to you. Strategic also, of course, wala kang gustong sabihin na potentially mag-undermine ng mga aliado mo because let's not forget, ang US, Australia, Japan, may sarili din silang interest when it comes to China. It is true na meron tayong convergence of interest with these countries in fighting against bullying sa West Philippine Sea because ayaw rin nila na mag-dominate ng South China at West Philippine Sea ng China. But at the same time, yung mga bansa na yan, may sarili din silang bilateral relationship and complications with China. So I understand for strategic and tactical reasons, for intelligence reasons, for bilateral strategic relations reasons, BBM cannot say everything. But at the same time, I hope we will see and we will hear and we'll get to know in one way or another na hindi purong mga matapang na salita lang ito, or hindi lang ito yung mga rhetorical reassurances, hindi lang ito yung mga usual na ginagawa ng US. You need to see something different, something special. So some of the things I want to see is whether anong klase ng mga barkong gagamitin natin sa mga susunod na resupply mission sa Yongin Shoal, anong mga diplomatic measures na gagawin natin, are we going to openly threaten the potential for withdrawing our ambassadors or downgrading our diplomatic ties? Anong mga strategic countermeasures katulad ng, let's say, dito ako sa Cordilleras, right? Ang China po ay nagre-rely sa Pilipinas sa nickel and some of the very, very important resources. Are we gonna also leverage that, right? Because actually, ang Yung mga SM ganon, oh, dependent sila sa China, pero sa totoo lang, pagdating sa mga strategic mga minerals and all, mas dependent pang China sa atin eh, kasi kailangan nila yung mga resources natin to make some of their high-tech stuff, which by the way, they sell back to us in finished form with 10 times the price. But anyway, mahabang usapan yun, yung mga neo-colonial economics na ginawa din ng mga Western countries sa atin before. But going back to this, you want to also see, ano ba talagang sinasabi ni BBM in terms of tutulungan tayo ng Amerika? Because so far, correct me if I'm wrong, ano bang binigay sa atin ng Amerika na malaking armas na pwede ipangtapat natin sa China? May binigay ba silang maganda sa atin ng mga F-16 fighters? May binigay ba sila sa atin ng magandang F-15X fighters? May in-offer ba sila sa atin na training or something na down the road, potentially we can have F-35 fighters, not F-22, kasi sa kanila talaga yan. May binigay na strategic missile systems bang US sa atin? HIMARS, Patriot missile systems bang sa atin China, ang US? So, yun ang tanong ko ngayon. Ano ang, if ever, magbibigay ng weapon systems ang Amerika sa Pilipinas, how decisive those weapon systems will be? And under what conditions? And in exchange for what? Are they gonna demand us to give them more access, EDCA, sa Batanes, sa Cagayan, ganon? So, it's good to hear na meron tayong mga aliado and supporters because after all, the reason why ang China ay natakot na to escalate it, kaya water cannon pa rin ginagamit, hindi cannon, is because ayaw nila magkaroon sila ng direct clash with the US. Pero kung tutulungan naman tayo ng US, ano ba talagang tulong na ito? Ito ba yung mga usual na binibigay nila over the past 30, 40, 50 years which did not make the Philippines a world-class military? Because kung titignan mo, lahat ng mga matitinong armas na kinukuha natin recent years ay galing sa Korea. Yung mga warships natin galing sa Korea. Yung F-15s natin galing sa Korea. Na hindi naman super fighter, more upgraded trainer. Yung missile systems natin galing naman sa India. Yung submarines na gusto natin bilhin, potentially galing sa France, right? Or Spain, right? Or baka Korea rin. Ito yung tatlo. So, nasaan ang Amerika dyan? Nasaan ang US dyan? Now, of course, maganda na sinabi ng ibang aliado natin na the Mutual Defense Treaty is very clear that they'll intervene. Of course, maganda yan, but before talking about them intervening directly in an event of conflict, sana naman may makuha din tayo ng mga matitinong armas na pwede natin gamitin for self-defense reasons. Advanced fighter jets, advanced missile systems, strategic weapon systems, mga ganun. So, yun guys ang mga dapat pag-usapan natin next week. Again, let's keep it here. Medyo napahabang usapan natin. Don't worry guys, hindi naman tayo galit. Ang sinasabi ko lang, sana magkakaroon ng tamang pagsusuri sa lahat ng mga bagay na pinag-usapan natin. Hindi pwede imarites-marites lang itong gentleman's agreement na yan. Kailangan talaga natin research. Kailangan talaga natin investigate. What was this gentleman's agreement? Did it violate our constitution? Have certain people acted contrary to our national interest? Should there be legal and criminal charges? Right? That's one. B, meron bang active disinformation campaign ng isang bully sa West Philippine Sea? Sino yung mga tao nila? Anong kailangan natin gawin? Lahat na yan dapat titingnan natin. At pangatlo, kung tutulungan tayo ng mga aliado natin, ano ba talaga ang mga bibigyan nila sa atin? Anong mga armas? Under what conditions? At anong kapalit nun? Because there's no free lunch in international affairs, just to be clear about this. So, yun po yung mga bagay na dapat pag-usapan natin. All right? Ayan naman yung mga bayaran. Hello, ang Ukraine po ang nakakuha ng $100 billion in military aid. All right? At ang Ukraine po ay hindi ma it's not even US treaty ally. And they're getting that much aid. All right? So, actually, using the Ukraine model is quite problematic. Ang problema kasi ng Ukraine is land sila, land country sila. So, yung border nila with Russia is very near. And Russia, which lost hundreds of thousands of people because dictator yung kanilang system, dictatorship, nagtatapon lang sila ng tao diyan sa giyera nila, sa yung meat grinder na tinitawag na sobrang. So, please lang, you know, actually the Ukraine example is not really the best example because Ukraine is not even a treaty ally and yet it got $100 billion dollars of aid from US and others and they're gonna still get tens of billions. Ang Pilipinas kaya not even, the Philippines is a treaty ally and by the way, we don't have a land border with China, so it's gonna be a totally different ball game. But anyway, I'll keep it there, mga kameta. Thank you very much again sa mga nahinig sa atin. So this is just a preview of God willing discussions we want to have next week. Syempre, weekend and all of that. But I hope to also reach out to Justice Carpio. We'll have hopefully an interview with him. I did an interview with him pero dun sa show natin View from Manila, dun sa Signal TV, TV5. Abangan yan. But I hope to also have a podcast with him. I'm also looking at talking to some other experts also based in the US. And down the road, to be honest, guys, I want to also talk to people based in China and other places, as long as sigurado tayo na in good faith ang conversations natin. All right? On that note, thank you very much, guys. Maraming salamat. Advance Happy Easter. And have a blessed Sabbath day and Easter day tomorrow. Salamat po. God bless.